I am speaking tonight on the subject, caught up until the third heaven. Caught up until the third heaven. I will be using the expanded translation of the New Testament by Kenneth Wiest because I feel that it does the best job in explaining the passage before us, making it clear. I will be reading from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 12. Now I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. For the most part, I would like you just to listen to it since you'll be hearing a different translation than you're reading. There are some scholars that might want to pick and see what the differences are as they go along, but for the general reader, I would appreciate it if you just listen. It is a necessity in the nature of the case for me to be boasting, though it is not expedient. My opponents force me to do so. But I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I do not know positively. Or out of the body, I do not know positively. God knows. This man, being of such a character, that was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man. Whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know. God knows. That he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. Concerning such a man as this, I will boast. But concerning myself, I will not boast except in my weaknesses. For if I should desire to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall speak the truth. But I am abstaining from boasting, lest any man consider me above that which he sees me to be, or above that which he hears from me. And with respect to the superabundance of the revelations, in order that I may not be exalted overmuch, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to the end that he might constantly maltreat me, lest I be exalted overmuch. Now, Paul spent 3 years at Corinth founding that flourishing church. He visited it again during his next and third missionary journey. And he wrote 2 epistles to it. But it wasn't until his last epistle, 14 years after he was caught up in the spirit into that angelic and heavenly realm, and that experience occurred at the beginning of his ministry, before he started his missionary journeys. It wasn't until 14 years after that time that he had the experience, after he had founded the church, after he had written him an epistle, that he wrote him a second epistle and made public by letter this unusual experience which he had at the beginning of his ministry. Now, apparently, Paul did not have a repeat experience. He reached back 14 years and drew from this one to make his explanation. It was so strange that Paul was not sure what really happened. He could not tell what form he was there in. Was my spirit really there, or was it a vision? I don't know, he admits. God knows is all he can say. The realm is a different realm. I understand a lot of things now in a way that I didn't before, the slight nuances in scriptures, because of the experience that I have. In other words, I understand what he means. He says, I don't know if I was there in a vision, if I was actually there. I mean, I can understand now. And the reason isn't quite what we always have thought it was. But it's a different realm. It is not a material realm. It is not a locative realm. It is not a dimensional realm. Paul wrote in verse 3 that, and I'm going to give it to you as the literal Greek says, this is actually what he wrote, he was snatched away until the third heaven. The Greek does not say he was snatched away to the third heaven. But what the translator is supposed to do in bringing something into the English idiom and understanding, when he reaches a phrase in which he uses the Greek word until, when he's never had the experience himself. Now, I'm going to give a parenthesis here for some of you master of theology students and some of you other students who are more advanced, so you can understand this, and some of your younger students too. You need to be careful when you look at Greek lexicons and Greek dictionaries in reading the meaning of Greek words, especially in very unusual circumstances and unusual wordings and unusual passages, because they will mislead you in spite of their expertise in Greek, because they don't know what a word means outside of the context of Scripture, how it's used, with some exceptions in drawing from the Greek papyri and classical Greek and so forth, which is not always a positive indicator and itself could be misleading. And so they do exactly what you must do to ascertain the meaning of a word, unless you're just going to read the lexicon and believe them. They will go to the Greek concordance, and they will look and see how the word is used variously, and then they will make a theological interpretation, because you have to make theological interpretations of each passage in order to decide what it means, and then they will tell you the meaning. And they're generally right, but they're not always right, because they have a limitation in their spiritual understanding and revelation. And if they don't get quite the same and proper meaning out of the verse, they will deduce that the Greek didn't really mean anything particular by using a different word, which I have the revelation that I know better than that, because the Holy Spirit knows what he's saying, and he knows how to say it. And when he has different Greek words in front of him, he does not pass up a primary Greek word and go to a secondary word or a different word and put that in its place when he means something else. And so I had a class when I taught Greek orientation one time. I had him go through all the Greek words in the Young's Concordance, meaning in, and it says, you know, it gives you, you know, it means on or in or at and so forth. I said, you go through, which I have done, and I took the word and put in every place, which is what the word in means. It means in, doesn't mean from, at, up, on, or anything else. And I said, God isn't going to use in to mean upon when he's got epi to mean upon. He's not going to mean in to mean upon when he's got on to mean upon. Upon to mean upon. And so, I went through it and put the literal word in every case, and in every case, but a very few out of hundreds, it fit just as well or better. And in the few cases that it didn't fit, it was only because the English idiom is expressed different than the Greek, and you can't use it that way. As an example, the Greek says, James was killed in a sword. Now, it's not true, literally, that the Greek word in, or in, therefore, sometimes mean with. Because he has a Greek word to mean with, that he wants to say with. But the Greek's mind doesn't say with the instrumentality of a sword. It means in the power of the sword. Therefore, it has in. And so, as Vincent's Greek word study says, that is literally in a sword. So, words mean exactly what they mean, and the Holy Ghost knows what he's choosing. So, for example, in this case, he was snatched away until the third heaven. Some translator will look at this and say, or some lexicographer will look at this and he'll say, well, this Greek word sometimes means two. For example, 2 Corinthians 12, 1, or whatever the verse is. And that doesn't mean it at all. But he made that deduction because that's what it seems like. He's caught away to the third heaven, so He used until. But see, I have learned some time ago by the Spirit that God means exactly what he says and nothing else. And if you don't, and so I've told the class, when you see a different word used than what should be used normally and would be used, don't fall for that old gag that, well, the Greek word sometimes means that. It doesn't. Look for a revelation. Try to say, what does it mean, and why did the Holy Ghost choose that word? He's not some bubbling idiot. He's not arbitrary. See, he's not arbitrary. Now, he was snatched away until the third heaven. The first heaven is where the birds fly. It is dimensional and material. The second heaven is where the stars are. It is dimensional and it is material. The third heaven is where God and angels are. It is not dimensional and it is not material. It is experiential. My spirit was suddenly cut away till I was in the third heavenly realm experience, is what he's saying. It is not a dimensional, locative realm, so he didn't say I was caught away to it as though it were a place there. That's the human, you know, thinking of everything. But he was caught away until the third heavenly realm, which is experience. Caught away till experience, not caught away to place, material, size, shape, location. Have you noticed the strangeness of people that die and go to heaven still speaking out of the mouth, laying on the deathbed, say, oh, it's so beautiful. How do they know? Are they still in the body? And those going to hell screaming in agony and terror, still in the body talking out. But they are coming until heaven or until hell. This is why I could lay on the floor, sing, see vision in my mind, my soul know what it's saying, my soul hearing, my ears in my body, hearing people around me, knowing I was on the floor, feeling my body on the floor, aware like Russ was of the realm I was in, here, seeing certain symbolical visionary things, singing about it, feeling great ecstasy in my soul, and yet my spirit at the same time was in a heavenly realm with no imagery, not seeing that thing at all that my mind was seeing, experiencing something in an entirely different realm that I can't bring back across the divide, without my spirit leaving my body and actually going there, which I believe is impossible as far as, you know, locking us feel, but in the natural. But when you begin to realize that in this realm, in the spiritual realm, where you're not, Jesus passed through closed doors, you know, even when he was still in his body, you know, out of the grave, when he still had the rock there, with a body. Figure that one out. There is a realm that is different than this realm. And as long as you think of it in terms of this realm, you can't understand it. In fact, after he went through the wall of the rock tomb and through the wall into the house, he told doubting Thomas, touch me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. It wasn't just spirit, man. Spirit, but flesh and bones. Now, figure that one out. Now, if you can. Now, in verse 4, Paul says, in the kingdom interlinear Greek, he heard unsayable sayings. These were unsayable sayings. The Amplified Bible says it this way. He heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words, which man is not permitted to utter. The preacher's homiletical commentary says, unutterable utterances. Words and, literally, words and no words. The words, yet the no words. I saw, but you didn't really see with human eyes, as I was telling you. Then he says, this combines one, impossible to utter, and two, not allowable to utter. Usually a choice is made between one and two. Now, what you have, you need to, it either means it's impossible to utter it, or it's not allowable to utter it. Therefore, the King James just says, he heard words that were, permitted to speak, so it says it, not allowed, not allowable. Not lawful, yes, not lawful to utter. Words not lawful. And the commentators have pretty much, for the most part, taken that to mean he saw secret things he wasn't allowed to tell. But I don't think that's what it means. And so, the kingdom millennial says he heard unsayable sayings, amplified, he heard utterances beyond the power of man to put into words, which man is not permitted to utter. Preacher's homiletical commentary says, unutterable utterances, words and no words. This combines one, impossible to utter, and two, not allowable to utter. Usually a choice is made between one and two. Therefore, I'm saying, the text could mean not that Paul was not permitted to tell, but that he was unable to tell, it being a different realm where no one hears a language of words by ear, but rather where one hears by an experience the same as one sees over there. And the vision that Russ saw, although it wasn't the same kind of realm that I was in, still he knew things that he did not see without anybody telling him. The analytical Greek lexicon says, words which it is not ex estin for a man to utter, or not lawful, or not permitted, or not possible. Three alternatives. It can mean either of the three. So it can't mean which is not possible. The King James Version marginal alternate reading is, in your Thompson Chain Bible, over the edge it says, and most others, it says, which is not possible, alternate, not possible to utter. The biblical illustrator says, and I'm just taking sections out of it, and it's written by two or three different writers. In Revelation 4, John, in high symbolic language, attempts, but inadequately, to shadow forth the glory which his spirit realized, but which his sense saw not. For heaven is not scenery, nor anything appreciable by ear or eye. Heaven is God felt. Doubtless the inhabitants of, and this is another writer, that writer must have had some experience. Doubtless the inhabitants of heaven conceive of objects in a manner as superior to our mode of conception as we are the objects themselves, as all the objects themselves to those of the earth. How then could they communicate their conception to beings of our limited and dull faculties? In like manner, the apostle on his return to his former state would find an insurmountable impediment to the communications of what he had seen and heard. But though not to be described in the language of sense, the sensation of body, the sensations of this body, or anything that we would call sense, therefore, it would appear from the effect left on his mind that the revelation was of the most exhilarating nature. A tone had been given to his character. Now, in my experience, in which my spirit was transported in whatever way it was to that heavenly realm, because my spirit was not seeing a vision, although I was seeing somewhat of a vision in my mind, but not entirely. I had experiences with no visions or pictures at all downhill. In my experience, I haven't forgotten. I have no secrets that I'm not permitted to disclose, although I have something I decided not to tell full way. I have no image images that I cannot describe. I have no words that I cannot translate. It's not a matter of me having words that there's no word here I can use, and I saw pictures that there's no way to describe it, and I saw colors that you can't don't have. That is not my problem. But I am totally incapable of relating to what I related to there. As far as my experiences with respect to the Son of God and me singing with angels and so forth. In other words, the problem is I no longer can relate to what I related so easily while there. You need to understand that I was not caught up in the typical realm in a vision and saw things pictorially that we do equate with, and therefore are left with that pictorial expression upon our minds when we return back again to our normal faculties. I was transported in a higher realm which left a lower lasting impression. Because anytime you see things in a normal vision realm, you see pictures that you can relate to. Every experience is in a symbolical way that is normal in some respect to this life, and you can relate to it and feel the emotion of it. In that realm, I was caught away into a more exacting realm of what was there, up to full measure, but above measure for the abundance of revelations that God's given him. Man has to be careful when he goes into certain timeless realms, lest he be exalted. Now, I can truthfully say that as far as I know, I feel no ego or pride at all because of this experience. Up there, I recognized an experience that I had, and every experience is different. There's no ego there. There's no ego there. But I have said every so often, my, that was a marvelous experience. It was given. So, see, even though I can't have that experience anymore, it's done a number of very important things. And that's what God has given it for, is for the knowledge of certain things and to pave the way for certain things. And I'm going to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, God is as great as we allow him to become. And what is ahead is a limitless sphere and realm, as it were. Part of it, of course, not being experienced until the other side. But there are, I am convinced that there's experiences in this realm of plenty that are to be experienced when we get to a place, not as a wage, but a place where God has a reason to take us into that realm and to show us things. We are going to need, in the very last time, under the Antichrist government, not Antichrist, but world government, we are going to need excursions into the heavenly realm and be fortified with what God has as we sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in order to overcome and to be able to do the work of the Man-Child Company ministry that God has placed upon us in the end of this age to harvest the souls of the world before he comes again.